welcome to the XCast X-Files Podwatch. This is episode 89, and today we're talking about Permanum and This Is Not Happening. I'm your host today, Carl Sweeney, and I'm delighted to welcome onto the XCast for the first time, Raj Sisodia. Hello, Raj.
Hi, happy to be here, Carl. Thank you.
Yeah, it's nice to talk to you. Obviously, Chris Knowles put me in touch with you. Just tell us a little bit about your blog, please, Raj, if you don't mind. What's it called and what's it all about?
Well, my main blog is A Midnight Suns. So that's at amidnightsuns.blogspot.co.uk. I guess you could say it's kind of like a gothic art blog. Most of the posts are video-based posts where I kind of create like tone poems or video collages, I guess you might say, that have a slightly dark theme. But the blog explores the occult, psychology, mythology, religion, etc. I also have an X-Files fanfic blog that is linked to the main blog, and that's xfilesascensions.blogspot.co.uk. Yeah, that's just kind of quite substantial pieces of X-Files fanfiction that I decided to put on the blog because I was quite pleased with them. So yeah, that's my general background.
Good stuff. I'm looking forward to checking it out. We were just talking quickly before the recording started, and I know, like me, you're a big Season 8 fan, it sounds like. So
absolutely.
Definitely looking forward to discussing these two. Today's episodes were both broadcast for the first time in February 2001, and the first one is Permanum, which is the 13th episode of Season 8. It was written by Chris Carter and Frank Spotnitz and directed by the late, great Kim Manners. And in this episode, a man named Duffy Haskell tells Doggett and Scully that his partner gave birth to an alien baby before being killed. Okay, so we normally just start off with like general thoughts on the episode. I mean, for me, Raj, this one I find very satisfying. I really like the synthesis of body horror and the melodrama as well. I think the episode finds a really appropriate register, like emotional register for those things. How about you though? What do you think of Permanum?
Yeah, I would agree about the emotional register. For me, Permanum is very kind of old school X-Files. It manages to be a kind of very emotionally authentic story, whilst also being a kind of really clever, self-contained thriller that also feeds, obviously, back into the mythology in a number of interesting ways. And you can really feel that in the episode. You can feel the, for example, Scully's hesitancy to investigate Duffy Haskell's story, because it's a little too close to the bone. And I love when Doggett realizes that he's kind of like crossed the line a little bit with Scully, and that kind of look on his face where he's like, she doesn't appreciate me being too intimate here, like with her private life. So the emotional beats, they all felt very genuine. I also loved how smooth the transitions were between flashback and present day. You know, it had a real elegance to the way it was done. Nothing felt jarring. Yeah, I think also, personally, like, I have a kind of fondness for kind of, like, locked room kind of thrillers. And this had a little bit of that feeling towards the third act in the kind of creepy military hospital, which I thought was beautifully shot. I really liked the kind of cinematography in this episode. I think it lent itself to that kind of, like you said, that fusion of, like, body horror and kind of, like, procedural thriller.
Okay, so for a lot of fans, this would be most notable, I think, for the flashback sequences. You know, these subjective flashbacks with Scully thinking back on her time with Mulder.
Yeah.
Sort of, it's in this post-Memento Mori somewhere, all the stuff with the Ova and asking him to be a sperm donor and so on.
Yes.
It's the most we've seen Duchovny up to this point in Season 8, isn't it? We saw him in flashback in The Gift as well, but not quite as much as in this, and obviously in the opening two-parter. Uh-huh. Let me just play devil's advocate for a second, because I think we basically agree on this by the sound of things. But I think I seem to remember at the time a lot of people were saying, shouldn't we have seen this, you know, shouldn't we have known about all of these goings on at the time, you know, with Scully's Scully trying to conceive and so on. Yeah. What would you say to that?
I think the inherent nature of the X-Files is about secrecy and mystery anyway. And it's not the first time that the X-Files has done that. Like, there's little hints of it here and there where you kind of get more backstory at a later date, which kind of fills in some things. So for me personally, I didn't have a problem with that. I thought it was because the payoff wasn't narrative. It was emotional, but it didn't take away from any kind of emotions that we had previously. It just kind of built on them. So it was kind of, rather than like withholding a key piece of character detail, it was more of like a gut punch. It was just like, oh, here, look at how brutal and tender and painful this situation is. It was even more so than you kind of thought in the beginning. So it didn't feel like a cheat to me, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, like I say, I pretty much agree. And I felt like those sequences kind of accrued like a power as presented here that they wouldn't necessarily have had if they'd have been doled out along the way, which is kind of what some fans wanted, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that.
So, yeah, I really like Doggett's role in all this. And, yeah, you mentioned that moment where he realizes he's overstepped the line. You mean the moment in the office early on, do you, where he talks about what he's read in the files?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that because it's kind of seeded throughout the early part of this season in how much legwork Doggett does with, you know, reading what's in the X-Files. And I'm just a sucker for anything that makes use of the filing. So, yeah, I really like that aspect of Doggett's character. And I think some fans, wrongly in my view, thought we were being kind of force-fed Doggett and really, you know, he's being crammed down our throats. But
I pretty much concur. Like, I love the character of Doggett. And I thought Robert Patrick was perfectly cast. And the cinematographers make really great use of this guy's eyes because Robert Patrick has really intense, clear blue eyes. So they do a lot of close-ups. And he manages to convey an awful lot through his eyes. And I think as a character, you know, Doggett was an NYPD beat cop. So that whole kind of like getting down into the nitty gritty, it's so him. It's like, he's a guy who's like, okay, well, aliens and bounty hunters, I don't believe any of this, but I'm sure as hell going to do all the reading. I'm going to do all the legwork. I'm not going to cut corners on my job. That is what a New York cop turned FBI agent, you know, would kind of be like, or at least to me.
I felt Doggett provided the series with a shot in the arm, honestly, and I'm a huge fan.
He most definitely did. He another thing is just the chemistry between the two. I think it plays as so genuine, and I love how they never write Doggett as like trying to replace Mulder or trying to steal some of their chemistry. You know, Doggett and Scully have their own kind of strange chemistry, and I think that works really well.
So at the end of the episode, obviously, Doggett finally learns about her pregnancy.
Yeah.
And what did you think about those moments between the pair?
I thought it was just incredibly touching because the way Robert Patrick plays it is he just feels so betrayed and he feels so wounded. But he plays that scene with such an incredibly gentle quality, like such a gentle touch, like he's really empathizing. But he's kind of really upset that she couldn't meet him halfway, you know? And so you have all these mixtures of emotions, and he plays it so well, like where he puts his hand on her shoulder and he kind of leans in. He's like, you know, why didn't you tell me? And the way he emotes, it's just really believable and really sweet, I guess is what I'm saying.
Oh, definitely. We got a couple of first appearances in this episode. So Duffy Haskell returns later in the season.
Yes, he does.
And this actor actually appeared in the episode Demons back in season 4. I believe the actor's name is Jay Accavone. But it's also the first appearance of Noel Rohrer, played by Adam Baldwin.
Yes.
And at this stage, he appears to be in the lineage of like the informant figures we've seen in the past. What did you make of his first appearance, Noel Rohrer?
I liked it because he came across as... he came across as shady, but shady in the right way, like in the sense of, you know, he's at a fairly high level. He's dealing with all kinds of classified stuff, but he plays the whole like, what, aliens, John, like, come on, seriously. but yeah. You can tell that like this is a man who is used to walking in elite circles. So I think that was clever. And also, the actor who plays him is, you know, he's quite tall and well built. He's physically imposing, you know, standing next to Doggett especially. So, yeah, I liked it. I liked the fact that he was sort of slightly creepy, but creepy in a way you could understand in the way they frame that scene with Doggett coming to him, you know.
Yeah. And what about Haskell then, seeing as I mentioned him? Because his performance has kind of a, I don't know if manic's the word exactly, but, you know, he's kind of an edgy quality to it.
Yeah.
Which I suppose makes sense in that he's basically trying to spin a yarn, isn't he? So, did you have any thoughts on that?
I think what they did in the the opening scene where he first comes to them is his dialogue is so blunt and to the point. He's like, he doesn't try to couch it in more respectable terms. He's like, he's almost like, there was an alien baby, yo, and they stole it, and and this is what really happened. Can you help me, guys? You know, which kind of makes him seem mad, and also for fans of the show, it's the kind of bluntness that you would expect from someone who has experienced that. So there was a lot of kind of notes and tones, and then obviously with the reveal when we find out what Duffy's really up to. So yeah, I didn't have a problem with his performance at all. I thought it fit quite well.
And we'll see him again. I believe it's in Essence is when he next appears. I really liked the music in season 8 in general, and I think the music gives this episode a real power too.
Absolutely, I totally agree. Scully's theme is so well used. That whole distorted "We are near, we are here" thing it is so evocative. They use that in Permanent, but they also use it again in the next episode, don't they?
Yeah, it's a great effect. It's a great effect. And I also just wanted to maybe give a shout out to people who never really get talked about much in our podcast, because we talk a lot about the writers and the directors and the actors, but there are all these skilled people working on the series doing things like hair and costume. Mm. Obviously, a lot of the effect of the flashbacks is the fact that, you know, Scully looks a couple of seasons younger. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, they really did a good job, I think, putting those together. Raj, are there any other key moments or anything noteworthy you wanted to bring up before we move on to This Is Not Happening?
Yeah, because I love Robert Patrick and I love John Doggett. Just the the scene where he comes to Skinner and he's basically freaking out, and he's like, you got to tell me where she's been, where she's gone. And Skinner's like, I can't tell you that. And he's like, look, these are doctors potentially killing pregnant women. A hospital is the worst place in the world for her right now. Just tell me where she is. And Skinner just does. He kind of gives Doggett this look like, yeah, okay, I see where you're coming from. You know, and I liked that. I really liked that.
So, This Is Not Happening is episode 14 of the 8th season, and this one was also written by Chris Carter and Frank Spotnitz, and it was also directed by Kim Manners. I think that's because Permanum was broadcast out of order, so that's why you get two Manners episodes back-to-back, I think. Wow. This is the episode that begins with Teresa Hosey, last seen in Requiem, being returned from her abduction. So, Scully, Doggett and Skinner investigate, hoping to finally find Mulder. Yeah, again, I find this a very powerful story. Quite a simple story. I mean, some of these season 8 mythology episodes have a fairly pared down quality, I find.
Yeah.
When you compare them to some of the earlier, maybe like a season 3 episode or something, which has a lot of moving parts,
yes,
it doesn't feel quite the same in this season. But I don't think that's a bad thing by any means. Raj, what do you think of This Is Not Happening?
I think I would agree. Like I said to Chris many times, that season 8 feels, I call it an illegal street fighter of narrative storytelling. It is very pared down, but it kind of, what it does, that pared down quality, like, you know, there's a little bit less purple prose, the storylines, like you said, have less moving parts, but it gives it a kind of brutality and a leanness and for me, a kind of like a sex appeal, I guess you could say. Like that episode feels sexy. That's the wrong word to use, but you kind of know what I mean. Like it just feels very stylish in a very unique, visceral way. I love it. I mean, there's so many things to compliment in this episode. I adore it. So the casting as well is on point. I forget the actor's name, but the guy they cast as Absalom, that guy is scarily intense. And another actor with amazing eyes that they make really good use of in close-up.
Yeah, very, very credible in that
Absolutely.
Role.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so if we meet Absalom, we also see the return of Roy Finns as Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah, a welcome return.
A welcome return, yeah. I mean, it doesn't take up a huge chunk of screen time, but some very powerful moments, especially when he appears towards the end of the episode after Reyes leaves the room with Scully,
yes,
and he reveals himself to her. I thought that was a very powerful moment. So, yeah, did you have any thoughts on Jeremiah Smith in this episode?
I liked that he was used sparingly, and I like that you don't get much, all of the backstory of how and why and what he's doing is all sort of implied through dialogue. I like that because by the end of this episode, he literally represents Scully's last hope. So I like that he's this ephemeral thing, this thing you can't quite pin down. And then she thinks this is my chance to defeat fate. And then he's gone. So, yeah, I thought it was really clever use.
Yeah, it's quite interesting to consider how we talked about, you know, how the season 8 mythology episodes have this, like, qualitatively different feel. Yeah. And yet there's all these elements which return from previous seasons. So we've seen Gibson Praise before. Here's Jeremiah Smith. He's back. There's, like, references here to closure with the Starlight discussion. And there's also things like the Black Oils, you know, coming back quite soon. So, I don't know, I feel like the season makes quite varied and rich use of the show's like iconography from previous years, but in a way that doesn't feel like it's rehashing things.
I think a big part of that is the change in the sort of writing tone. It's very pared down, it's very tight, it's very muscular, but also it's the chemistry, that sort of Scully, Skinner, Doggett kind of thing works really, really well. And obviously, Annabeth Gish, I adore this actress in this role, especially, like you said, this season 8 Monica is Monica.
Oh yeah, we were just talking just before we started recording, and I said I'm a really big fan of Reyes, and I sort of qualified it by saying, well, season 8 Reyes anyway. I suppose what I'm saying is that I really like the way they tee up Monica Reyes in all four of the season 8 episodes that she appears in. And then I feel like, you know, she's more of a compromised character in some ways in season 9, and I think there may be some kind of off-screen factors that play into that. I really like this opening introduction to her, especially like that first shot where she's got her back to the camera and we see her from a distance.
Yeah.
So yeah, how did that strike you, our first introduction to Reyes?
I liked it because it was the musical cue that they use on that shot where she's up on the hill near the tree with her back. You know, the musical cue is very sort of shamanic, and she does kind of represent this shamanic figure who, at first, Scully just writes off as this flaky chick, and Scully, you can feel Scully's sort of contempt in a way. Yeah, but I thought it was a very kind of powerful scene where that whole scene where they're out on the hill in the desert, the whole time you can feel Scully kind of like, just why the hell did you bring me all the way out here to talk to this woman? Seriously, you're wasting my time. And she just oozes that, and the whole time Monica's kind of like trying to grin through it and like, no, honestly, I can be of some use here. Like, I really can.
Yeah, but it also makes sense to me, like, why Doggett would introduce her as well.
Again, yeah, exactly. It feeds back into his character as a guy trying to do his job, even though he doesn't believe the essential conceit of whatever might be going on. You know, he's like, well, this girl, she might be able to help. So this would be what an investigator would do, you know, little things like that that just kind of, I guess, make me respect where Doggett's coming from as an investigator.
Definitely. And the other thing to mention probably is that I felt that Gish and Anderson have like a really tangible chemistry as well. And it's no surprise that there are sort of Reyes-Scully shippers, I don't think.
Absolutely. Like the scene in the hospital where Reyes is looking for implants, and that whole exchange where she's like, well, you know, it doesn't mean I'm a disbeliever in the phenomena. And that like little smile that Scully gives where she's like, okay, maybe I've underestimated you. But then sort of Monica tramples all over it by kind of saying like, oh, don't be scared. And you see Scully's reaction where it's kind of like Monica doesn't quite realize how raw Scully is at that moment, or it doesn't seem like that, but she's trying her best. So a lot of complicated emotions, like Scully kind of respects her in that moment and kind of broadens her opinion of Monica, but at the same time is still quite reticent to like take on board whatever Monica's trying to tell her.
I think when I think of this episode, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, like without doubt, is that final few minutes. Basically, I just kind of find it really shattering almost. Like, the drama reaches this kind of like operatic pitch, it seems like to me.
Yeah.
Leading up to the cliffhanger, obviously. What did you think about those last few minutes?
Well, just skipping back just for one second, I think when Reyes notices that Jeremiah has shapeshifted into Doggett, and Doggett's reaction of like, well, that's me. And I didn't even go in that room. Like, what the hell? And then, like you said, yeah, the last few minutes, that whole operatic quality, that's a really good way of describing it. The plot points of what had to happen, the timing was really well done. You know, she speaks to Jeremiah, then it's like Mulder's out in the woods, and she goes out there, and then she's like, you know what, F this. She's like, runs back, and then, you know, the ship comes, and that whole thing, I remember the first time I watched that, and I was however old I was, it really hit me, like on a visceral level. Like, I'm seeing this huge, beautifully rendered CGI spaceship, like hovering over this cult compound. But my jaw's not dropped because of that. My jaw's dropped at the, like, emotional horror of Scully's situation. That's kind of like what carried me through those last few minutes of that episode. Like, I was with Scully every step of the way.
Yeah, and I think on original broadcast, I think there was like a gap of like a few weeks before Dead Alive. So you really a lot of time to like process that as well for the viewers. Yeah, just really wanted to wrap up just by saying, like, asking you, how well do you think the show uses the plot line of the search for Mulder then, which has sort of run through since his disappearance? Obviously, it kind of culminates here with the discovery of his currently dead body. Yeah, what do you think about that?
My views on it have sort of changed over the years, because when I was young, like, I identified with Mulder a hell of a lot. So I was really, really disappointed to see him go. And then, like, I got really attached to Doggett and the kind of the new kind of energy of season 8. So then when Mulder kind of comes back in flashback in The Gift, it was a little bit jarring for me. And I remember thinking, like, I wouldn't have spaced out Duchovny's cameos in the way that they did through season 8. Or at least I wouldn't have started with The Gift. But I was younger then, and I think my thoughts on that have evolved because I've rewatched every episode countless times. So Now I think, like, it's really well handled, you know, having this eccentric FBI profiler obsessive who, you know, over the course of the series becomes this kind of like borderline or proto-psychic / shaman / alien god. having him as kind of like the absent center of the show, like, it made perfect sense to me because he is the X-Files, you know, he is the driving force of the whole thing. And I think the way they got most out of it was by constantly relating it to Scully. Like, how does Mulder's disappearance affect Scully emotionally? How does it affect her professionally? How does it kind of like wear down her nerves? How does it get her kind of hesitant to trust Doggett and to second guess people around her, you know, little things like that. And now she has to be more of a believer than a skeptic because someone even more skeptical than her is on the scene. And things like that, the central conceit of Mulder being like the quest, the incidental details around that were used really, really effectively.
Yeah, I suppose the drawback of Mulder as the absent center is that they're kind of forced to go back to the same well in season 9 almost.
Yeah.
And it's much more difficult to swallow.
I totally agree with you. I think we concur very strongly on our thoughts on this show. So, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there for today, Raj. It was really nice to talk to you. And you're going to be back with me, all being well, just a little bit further down the line. So, yeah, thanks for coming on.
Hey, it was a pleasure. I look forward to the next time. Thank you for having me, Colin.
Great stuff. And tomorrow on the podcast, it is Dead Alive and Free Words. In the meantime, listeners, you can find us on Twitter at @X_cast, and if you search for XCast on Facebook, you'll find our page and our group, which is called X-Files Basement, the XCast podcast fan group. But until next time, trust no one.